You are watching a master at work.
True Nation, get ready for the greatest 60 minutes in radio, giving you his authentic and bold opinions, bringing you all the information, entertainment, and conversations you gotta hear. From local issues to trending topics and headline news, it is time for Truth to Power with Kyle Wallace on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, 1017thetruth.com, and streaming live on YouTube. Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is your award-winning host, Kyle Wallace.
It is Truth to Power here on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. I'm your host, The Truth to Power, Kyle Wallace, and we're coming to you live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. You can call in and text in to the greatest 60 minutes in radio at 833-212-1017. That is the Truth Talking text line at 833-212-1017. You can always watch and stream us live on YouTube by going to 1017 The Truth on YouTube. That is 1017 The Truth on YouTube, where you can give us a like, you can give us a share, you can give us a subscribe so you don't miss any of your favorite award-winning 1017 The Truth shows. Shout out to DJ Brothers D holding it down on the ones and the twos. And as always, shout out to you, Truth Nation. Now, y'all might be thinking, why is Kyle sitting down? Well, y'all know when I'm sitting down, that means we have guests, that means we have company. So y'all already know, be on your best behavior now, as we are going to be joined by Mark Young, the Chief Recruitment and Outreach Officer and Executive Director of Undergraduate Admissions at UW-Milwaukee. Mark, welcome to Truth to Power. How you doing today?
Man, I'm so good, Kyle. It's good to see you, man. We go way back.
We do. I always tell people, because, you know, I'll be confident in certain stuff I do. I always told people, I said, yeah, me and Mark, we was killing it in the recruitment game. We was probably two of the best recruiters back at it.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
We were surely the top two, and I don't take number two positions. So just a note that I was the best in the game at one point.
Hey, he is literally, you heard his title. That's a long title. He's in charge of a lot of different things. I'm just a little old me. So he definitely took it to the top. So I'm excited to have him on because as you hear that positivity, as you hear that confidence, as you hear that swag, that is the leadership that they have at UW-Milwaukee. And they have some great programs that they want to tell you about. And so really, I just want to start here. There's a program called Roar Ready, right? What exactly is Roar Ready?
Yeah, Roar Ready. It stands for Roadmap for Opportunity, Achievement, and College Readiness. As we thought about Milwaukee, we have the opportunity to enrich students' lives as early as kindergarten, help them understand that from the jump of their academic learning, that they have a place on a college campus. And so we want to create so many different meaningful opportunities for students at age-appropriate events, engagement opportunities, and outreach to where they can access our campus, get to the university and have career exposure. We can support their academic achievement and then help them understand that sense of belonging and connect them to the right people on campus.
That sounds great. And it says, you know, it's open to learners of all ages and families.
All ages, man. And we know that the family unit is critically important as we think about students navigating successfully the academic journey, especially navigating systems that weren't traditionally created for them. While we know that getting to the student early is critically important, to also reach that parent as well. So there will be opportunities for parents to learn and interact with the institution, whether it be micro-credentialing or finishing up that associate's or bachelor's degree.
I love that because, again, one thing I talk about here on Truth to Power is I talk about education and the power of the importance of families being involved. I truly believe that a family that is more involved in their child's education is going to be a child that's going to find success. So I love the fact that UW-Milwaukee, right here in our community, is giving back to make sure that people have the mobility and the opportunity to grow academically. So I love the fact that you all have Roar Ready at UW-Milwaukee. Now, can you tell me, why does it matter so much to you all? Why was this such a need where you decided, you know what, we need to have this?
Yeah. One, because it's mission aligned. So we are access institution as much as we are a research one institution. And there's no one singular path to achieve academic success. And so we wanted to create this opportunity, one doorway, one pathway for students to access the institution to find all of the different ways that they can interact during the school year and in the summertime. We wanted to create spaces for students where they have a safe option to engage in learning, career exposure, and create a sense of belonging on our campus.
I love that. I love that. That sense of belonging early on is something that is, I think, so powerful, right? Like being able for students to have that is important to their future academic success. Now, what can students expect through the experience?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to focus on those three pillars in everything that we do, that academic enrichment, that career exposure, and then creating that sense of belonging. So they can go to our website and then find a program that fits their interests and where they are in this stage and age of their academic journey. They get that exposure to a college campus. They get to have fun. We do a lot of things that connect students to academics, athletics, arts. So it's not just purely academic. We really want students to have these wow moments so there's a good association with college and university. There's also flexible entry, so students can stop in and out at any point in their journey. And then the way that we want to continue to engage students and families is if they have one interaction with us at UWM, we want to engage them throughout their K-12 experience to help them sort of identify the opportunities that may not be readily available to them, you know, in their school or in their family.
I think when you talk about basically like a college access program, and I know for me, I went through college access programs coming up, and I know one of the things that one of the camps that I went to as a kid, one had a fee and the other one didn't. I remember my mom hit up my friend's grandma, said, "Hey, I want y'all to go to, can, you know, Kyle and his friend go to this camp together?" And she said, "Yeah, but what about this other camp?" Because it was free. She was like, "Send them to that one too." Is there a cost that comes with this camp at all for the community?
So many of our opportunities for students come at no cost to the student.
Love that.
We have both ways that students can interact with the camps if they go find the camp themselves. But then many of our local area partners, high schools and community-based organizations, we're organizing visit experiences where it's no cost to the students and or that organization. A few examples of that is students can access our Center for Pre-College Programs, where many of these programs are grant-funded, so it assumes much of the cost for the student, where they can do three-week programs in the summertime, but then also throughout the school year as well. We also have a few programs in the academic space as well. So our virtual architecture summer camp is a great way for young learners to think about architecture in a different way. Many of folks may not even know that that career exists, but they know buildings go up. But as we think about how to gamify that with now I'm going to date myself here and show you how out of touch I am. What's the game where they build things?
Oh, Roblox.
Roblox.
I only know because y'all know I talk about investment. Somebody told me to invest in it because kids love it.
There you go.
Never played it.
There you go. So Roblox is architecture, right? And so how do we get kids interested very early on through channels that they're already accessing, but then just associate what they like to a career?
Absolutely. Again, we are speaking with Mark Young, the Chief Recruitment and Outreach Officer and Executive Director of Undergraduate Admissions at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, here to talk about the Roar Ready program they have at UW-Milwaukee. But I really want to know something because, again, it's always about UWM has been around for a very long time, and I know the long-term impact and commitment is something that's so important. Why is this program something that you're looking at, not just for now, but the long-term impact that it's going to have on the community?
Yeah. So one, it's mission aligned with our access and research mission. I think the second thing that's personal and one of my professional goals is that this is the right thing to do. Under the right conditions, any student can be high achieving. Any student can be successful and transcend their current environment and grow to something that they may not even imagine. College and university are really transformative periods for a lot of people. And I think every student should have access to that opportunity to learn and grow.
Absolutely love that. Again, we're talking about Roar Ready, but you know, I want to make sure I give you all this opportunity to talk about a little bit about, because with your full role with the undergraduate admissions, is there anything that, you know, why is it that UWM is such a great option for students to consider and think about?
Yeah, UWM is a great option for students, one, because we're local. So for many of our students, we know that they have dual responsibilities in their house. Sometimes they may not be able to move away from their family unit because they are such a pillar within that household. We also know that being close is a driver for many of our students who still want to live on campus but need quick access back home. When we think about affordability and value, we are a great value for students that are looking for that Division I, R1 experience, but in your local hometown university. We're also a prominent transfer destination. So if students want to start at a local area technical college, we have great transfer agreements with MATC, WCTC, and a host of other technical colleges so that students who are starting somewhere else, maybe to save a little bit money or because they're place bound, have an easy transition over to UWM to assume those goals as a baccalaureate degree seeking student or even a graduate.
That is wonderful. And I know one thing, being from Milwaukee, you think about, oh, it's right in my backyard. But you think about all this, the things that you have access to. What once you get on campus, a lot of times you're not here just to have fun. You're here to get an education. You're here to find internships. And what a better place to do it than right here in the city of Milwaukee, where you have so many different companies to enjoy. So absolutely. I love that. But for me, I guess my question for you, Mark, is why is attracting talent from Milwaukee so important? Because this Roar Ready program seems like it's trying to attract talent from Milwaukee. Why is that something that you all value at UWM?
Yeah. So I'll start with 80% of our graduates stay in Milwaukee.
Okay? I love to hear that.
Listen, we are a talent pipeline for not only the city of Milwaukee, but the state at large. And then a significant portion of our incoming class comes from the city of Milwaukee. We have been very intentional at growing our partnerships with NPS and community-based organizations because we believe these students deserve a chance at our university to transform their life. College was transformative for me, and I think it has the power to change students' lives. So UWM consistently is a great value for many of our students. I would also say in terms of diversity, we're one of the most diverse institutions in the state of Wisconsin. Students will see faculty and other students that look like them, which, as you know, Kyle, is critically important as a student navigates predominantly white institutions. And so to be able to interact with faculty and staff who have similar, not the same, but similar lived experiences in navigating, you know, large, complex institutions, it's helpful for a student to be able to find that community and find people that care and support them.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it so much. Again, this is Mark Young, Chief Recruitment and Outreach Officer at UW Milwaukee. Mark, how can people find more information about the Roar Ready program? Where can they visit?
Absolutely. You can go to our website at uwm.edu/roarready. And so there are ways for you to submit an inquiry form, but you can also just reach out to undergraduate admissions and we'll get you pointed in the right direction.
What a great role, man. I'll tell y'all this right now, because I worked in the field, and again, I saw Mark doing his thing. Again, when you're talking about recruiting talent from Milwaukee, this is a great example of what people can look up to. And so that's what I love, the fact that Mark has continued to grow in his career and continue to make an impact, a positive impact in Milwaukee. So thank you so much for the work that you do, because I know how big of a grind it is, especially when you're at top. So thank you so much for joining us here today, Mark, and for all the work that you do.
Indeed, man. Thanks for the platform and the partnership.
Absolutely. Again, that is Mark Young, the Chief Recruitment and Outreach Officer and Executive Director of Undergraduate Admissions at UW Milwaukee. Thank him so much for joining us here today. Got the fight song playing in the background for UW Milwaukee. When we come back, we are going to talk about Milwaukee. Could we hear a lot about rethinking 794? Well, I think we might be time to rethink the north side of Milwaukee. I'll tell you more next.
Truth to Power with Kyle Wallace returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on 1017 The Truth on YouTube. You are listening to Truth to Power with Kyle Wallace on 1017 The Truth and The Truth app. Catch Truth to Power every weekday from noon to 1 p.m.
Yeah. Ice. Yo. Manish on a beat, shebang. All of my ops say dead. Why do they gas me up? Where does it go? My head. How much I got? A lot. Don't leave again. I won't.
With American Family Insurance, you can find the right home or auto quote that fits for you.
You know that you need to make sure you're protected, and American Family Insurance does exactly that. And what I love about American Family Insurance, you can go online. All you can do is go online. You can get a quote instantly online at AmFam.com. You can bundle at AmFam.com, or you can call. That's the one thing I like to do. I like to talk to folks, so I'll give a call. But if you are looking for a car insurance or homeowner's insurance, make sure you visit American Family Insurance. Visit AmFam.com today to find an agent near you or get a quote instantly online. It is Truth to Power here on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Thank you so much to Mark Young, the Chief Recruitment and Outreach Officer and Executive Director of Undergraduate Admissions at UW-Milwaukee for joining us here today. Now, I told Brother Z on Monday I wanted to play some Drake music coming back from break all week long, but then we had all these technical difficulties. They weren't trying to have me be great. And so finally now I get it, but I had to run upstairs to go grab some stuff. Now I'm breathing heavy. But again, this is Truth to Power here on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. Make sure y'all watch and stream us live on YouTube by going to 101.7 The Truth on YouTube. That's 101.7 The Truth on YouTube. You can give us a like. You can give us a share. You can give us a subscribe so you don't miss any of your favorite award-winning 101.7 The Truth shows. And now, Truth Nation, listen, before I go on, as I've been telling everybody this whole week, this will be my last week of shows. Friday will be my last show, but I will continue on. I'll still have the Truth to Power podcast, working on some things in the background where there will be a digital aspect, still posting clips on social media, still also will be streaming on YouTube at some point. Trust me, we're working on some stuff because me and T-Lo will still be with Good Karma Brand. So we got some good things cooking up, but also excited for the future of the Truth. I'm waiting to hear the lineup as well for that to be announced so I can definitely share it with y'all. But again, I'm so excited for the future of the Truth, but I'm also excited for the future of myself. Truth to Power will continue on. So though Friday will be my last show on 101.7 The Truth, I will continue to have a podcast where you can listen and continue to be able to stream live. Frequency, we'll get it all figured out. But again, I'm excited for the future. But with that being said as well, so DJ Brother, I sent you two photos, the group photo, the fam. So yesterday I got a text message from the fam, from the group, group chat for the bachelor party, and they were talking about, Kyle was talking about the bachelor party. And so they all went back to listen to it, and we had a really good time. This is a photo from when we were at getting some beverages. So shout out to the gang. I said the brothers was taking over Nashville, and that's exactly what we did. So I just want to say shout out to them. I appreciate them so much. I love them so much. And the one thing is like when I put this group together, right? Because they all my friends and my family. Zach said, where's the white boy? White boy flew in that day. He flew in at 5 o'clock that day. We had to do this. We did this at 2 o'clock that day. So he was missing. White boy was missing from this. But one thing that I realized is that the group chat is still popping right now. Cause I was going to say, hey man, shut the group chat down, move on. Cause I'm not a big group chat guy. But what I love and appreciate is the fact that, as I said before, it is so great for black men to be around black men. And you could just feel the appreciation of everybody just enjoying the energy, right? The common lived experiences Mark was talking about, like just the friendships and all that. So shout out to the gang, to everybody who came through, and I appreciate y'all. And they was like, what you done said now? But with that being said, Truth Nation, off the top, it's time to talk about Rethinking 794.
Y'all know what time it is. It's time for Off the Top on Truth to Power. Kyle, let Truth Nation know what you got to get off your chest today.
Again, Truth Nation, make sure you watch and stream us live on YouTube by going to 101.7 The Truth on YouTube. That is 101.7 The Truth on YouTube, where you can give us a like, you can give us a share, you can give us a subscribe so you don't miss any of your favorite 101.7 The Truth shows. And make sure you subscribe to the Truth to Power podcast as well. Now, Truth Nation, I am all about redevelopment. I am. I'm a big guy who loves redevelopment. I'm a big guy who loves beautifying the city of Milwaukee because I want our city to be as beautiful as possible. That is something that I want. I was a huge advocate for redeveloping the entertainment district by Pfizer Forum. Like, and when I say huge, y'all don't understand. I was writing college essays and high school essays about building a brand new Bucks Arena. I remember I was using quotes that I saw from Julius Payne Jr. Now, I think he might have passed away now. Back in the day about, because he was in charge of like the district down there. And I was using quotes about the importance of being able to develop something special in downtown Milwaukee. So I'm big on development. I'm a supporter, even though some people didn't. I'm a supporter of our tax dollars going towards the Milwaukee Brewers being able to renovate the stadium, be able to host more concerts, because I'm a believer in entertainment districts. I'm a believer in stadiums and teams being able to generate revenue. I'm a believer in, you know, them using some of them dollars and being able to develop American Family Field parking lots to potentially have more developments. Like, I'm a believer in that. I love investing in our community when it makes sense. When it makes sense for everybody. Building an entertainment district by Pfizer Forum, that don't hurt nobody. That's development. That land was free. Building stuff by American Family Field, that ain't gonna hurt nobody. But the thing is, Truth Nation, one thing that has bothered me is when we don't have the same level of innovation, the same level of ideas, the same level of strategy, the same level of energy for developing the north side of Milwaukee. That's something that bothers me. And this conversation around redeveloping 794, or as you see on the internet, rethinking 794, which the rethink 794, that page is a sham. It is. It's propaganda. But what really bothers me is that I know there has been a conversation about tearing down 794 for years now. I want to say at least since 2022. And what makes me upset is that the conversation was happening in back rooms, in private places, in country clubs. That's where, you know, Mayor Johnson and leaders in Milwaukee were discussing the future and the vision of Milwaukee behind closed doors at country clubs across Milwaukee. And though it may be a debate publicly, I believe the mayor's team wants to tear down 794, which is fine. It's fine for him to believe that. But my hope is that the decision that is going to be between Wisconsin DOT and conversations with our local officials, they're going to have to come together and figure something out. But I hope that the mayor of Milwaukee, and I hope that the common council don't already have it in their mind and that is made up, that this is what we're going to do, is tear down 794 and build a boulevard. That is my hope. I hope that they actually take time to consider public's thoughts, because the common council doesn't always consider the public thoughts. Sometimes you see people just sit there just to listen, but already know how they're going to vote. We see that with the MPS school board as well, because when they voted to give themselves a raise and people objected to it, they didn't care. They still voted to give themselves a raise. The public discourse and the thoughts of the people did not matter. When people objected to a tax increase of 2% that would put our taxes at 7.9% here in the city of Milwaukee, and the public said no, the common council said, we don't care what you say. The mayor said, we don't care what you say. We're going to do it. So my hope is that in this case of 794, they're actually going to care what we have to say. They're actually going to listen to what we have to say and make a decision based off what the community says and not based off what they want to do. In my opinion, tearing down 794 would not increase the quality of life of all of Milwaukee. It may increase the quality of life of some, but if it's not going to impact all of Milwaukee, I don't want anything to do with it. Truth Nation, the pro-rethink 794 and pro-teardown 794 people are going to try and sell you a dream that building a street-level boulevard will enhance the quality of life for all Milwaukeeans, but we all know that is not true. Do not buy what they are trying to sell you, because it's not true. As a kid from Milwaukee, I only went downtown to go to Bucks games, Summerfest. Other than that, I didn't know nothing about downtown. And I remember going down to River Splash on Water Street in the early 2000s. I felt lost. Matter of fact, me and my friends in the eighth grade, we had like a half a day. We went to downtown Milwaukee. I felt like I was in a foreign place. The city is trying to sell you, and they're going to try to sell you that replacing 794 by building more apartment buildings, having more businesses, building more green spaces will positively impact all Milwaukeeans. And I'm going to tell you, it is going to be a lie. For me, the reason why I believe this whole idea should be scrapped, it's because of the economic impact will not reach our community of Milwaukee, and because the Wisconsin Department of Transportation said it themselves that tearing down 794 and making it a surface level street will lead to more fatal accidents. That's what they said. A slimmer freeway would reduce accidents annually by 1%. But the fact that if you were to tear the freeway down and make it a street level, they said it would increase accidents by 6%, but in addition to that, it will increase more fatal accidents. I don't understand why there's a debate about that. That is an automatic no-go for me. And then beyond that, it's going to make our commute even worse. It is. It's going to make our commute even worse. As someone who works downtown, I know how annoying it is when we have these bridges that we have to cross and the bridge lifts are up. Just today when I was driving to work, you can go to 1017 The Truth on YouTube. You see they working on a bridge right now. So the damn street is closed. And if you are anybody who drives in downtown Milwaukee, you know when that drawbridge is up, it stops traffic. Brothers, you can give me a head nod. Have you ever been caught by a drawbridge in downtown Milwaukee? Oh, it's annoying. And as a person that, you know, to get to my boat, back in the day, I had to go that way, that direction. It was always a nuisance. It was a nuisance. Investment in downtown Milwaukee, to me, is not worth losing lives. And that's what it comes down to. It's not worth losing lives. It's not worth significantly disrupting people's travel time as well. And again, I love the city of Milwaukee and I love development, but for anybody that supports tearing down 794, I would love for you to tell me why. And I remember I talked about this a while ago and people said, oh, you're wrong on that. I said, okay, to tell me why. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Because if tearing down 794 will positively impact the lives of people on the north side, I would love to know why. Maybe I just haven't done enough research. I'm not sure, but I would love for somebody to tell me, how does tearing down 794 and building a boulevard, how does that positively impact the black community? Because if you're somebody who don't live in downtown, you're somebody who doesn't go to downtown too often, and you just drive through downtown to get somewhere, guess what? Or you just drive downtown to get to work like myself, that is negatively impacting your life. So again, at 833-212-1017, somebody please tell me how tearing down 794 is an idea that is going to help the black community in Milwaukee. And how in the world would tearing down 794, which carries 73,900 vehicles per day, how is that a good idea? It carries 27 million vehicles per year. And really, my big thing about this, and the reason why I'm so irritated by this conversation, is because I'm sick and tired of our local politicians talking about rethinking 794 without talking about rethinking Milwaukee, rethinking the north side of Milwaukee specifically. How does a $500 million investment in downtown Milwaukee, in housing and offices and the lifestyle of downtown, impact the north side of Milwaukee? We've been sold this dream before, y'all. They got all this development in downtown Milwaukee. We got all these buildings. I mean, it's beautiful. It really is. The city of Milwaukee and downtown is beautiful, and it is a great experience. But somebody has to tell me, how has the development of downtown Milwaukee positively impacted the educational outcomes of our students? That's what I want to know, because we have invested millions and millions of dollars in downtown Milwaukee, but they are still asking us for more and more money. How has these investments in downtown made our students better in Milwaukee? How does it impact the job race that we have in our community, where we see a 6% unemployment rate in the city of Milwaukee for black people? How does that help that? How does it impact the number of black people who are getting opportunities to work in the trades? That's what I'm trying to figure out. How does this impact the median household income for my community, where the black community is only sitting at $37,000 per year for median income? How does rethinking 794 impact that? So again, my issue is, instead of putting so much time and putting so much energy and putting so much thought in how can we enhance downtown Milwaukee, how can we do this for downtown Milwaukee, where is that same energy for the north side of Milwaukee? How does rethinking 794 and putting it as a boulevard in downtown Milwaukee, which again, I believe that the mayor's office is a firm believer in wanting to do this, but what I need to be told is this. This is all the questions I have, and this is what they should be able to answer. How does it impact the access to food? How does it impact the access to affordable health care? How does it impact the access to affordable housing? Again, these are the questions that we need to have answered by our leaders as they advocate for this, because many folks who are leaders in Milwaukee are going to advocate for this. But over and over again, we see downtown getting beautified, but they never tell us how this is going to impact our community. 833-212-1017. I'm talking about the Rethink 794 and the tearing down of 794, which will be a huge conversation coming up here in the near future, as they want to make a decision by 2027 of what to do with 794. And for me, again, I love the, I ain't gonna lie to you, I love what they want to develop, But I'm not going to sit here and say that this development is going to impact north side of Milwaukee. I'm not going to sit here and act like this development is not going to disrupt traffic. I'm not going to sit here and act like this isn't going to cause more car accidents. I'm not going to sit here and act like it's, according to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, is going to cause more fatal accidents. An investment in downtown Milwaukee should not be something that we're thinking that is more important than saving lives. An investment in downtown Milwaukee shouldn't be more important than having a conversation about how can we reinvest to the north side of Milwaukee. But 833-212-1017, I see your calls, I see your texts. You can watch and stream us live on YouTube. We're talking about them tearing down 794 in downtown Milwaukee, making it into a boulevard. And I just want somebody to let me know, how does that positively impact the educational outcomes in the city of Milwaukee? How does it positively impact the economic outcomes of the north side of Milwaukee? Because I still see a lot of buildings that are empty. And as we had a conversation talking about earlier this week of what they're doing over there at the old Midtown Center, old Capitol Court, I just want to know, how does this investment positively impact the north side of Milwaukee? I'll take your calls and I'll take your texts next. It's Truth to Power with Kyle Walls. We'll have more.
More of Truth to Power is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth to Power on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and streaming live on 1017 The Truth on YouTube.
My word means to me will one day be the death of me. They tried to kill me once, but darling, you just resurrected me.
Reach me, baby. Call my phone and say you need
one call, that's all, with Gruber Law Offices. If you or a loved one is ever injured in an accident, y'all know what to do. Y'all know Gruber Law Offices has been protecting people here in the city of Milwaukee and across the great state of Wisconsin for 30 plus years. So again, don't go back and forth with the insurance companies. Make sure you contact the Gruber Law Offices because they will stand up for you. And remember, you never pay a single penny until they win your case. Visit them today at gruber-law.com. That is gruber-law.com, or call them at 414-276-6666. That's 414-276-6666. It's one call, that's all, with Gruber Law Offices. It is Truth to Power here on the award-winning 1017 The Truth. You can watch and stream us live on YouTube by going to 1017 The Truth on YouTube. That is 1017 The Truth on YouTube, where you can give us a like, you can give us a share, you can give us a subscribe, so you don't miss any of your favorite award-winning 1017 The Truth shows. We're talking about rethinking 794 as they are looking to tear down 794 and build a potential boulevard. I think that is the option that is preferred by a lot of local politicians here in downtown Milwaukee because they're looking at the potential investment boon it can have versus looking at some of the potential hazardous impact it's going to have, as Wisconsin DOT said is going to increase accidents if they do not have a freeway. And in addition to that, it will increase fatal accidents as well. And my question is, at 833-212-1017, Truth Nation, how does tearing down 794 make Black Milwaukee life better? 833-212-1017. Millicent, what is your thoughts here on today's conversation?
You're right, Kyle. It won't make Black, well, it'll make Black Milwaukee better from the standpoint of homeowners. There'll be a larger tax base, more businesses, and that will help with our taxes.
Can I ask you a quick question on
yes.
that?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So what I find interesting about that, because I think that's one of the things they're going to say, but we realize that they have gotten a larger tax base with all these different buildings that they have in downtown Milwaukee. But in the last 15 years, they've developed so much and they've added so much density and so much housing in downtown Milwaukee, whether it's condos or apartments. But we still see them asking for more money when it comes to the tax levy, and we still see people's taxes going up, do we not?
Yes, yes. And that's part of life. Taxes are always going to go up. It's kind of like being Black. You're going to die Black and you're going to pay taxes. That's just part of it. And we can't get around that. I know that's a narrative people like to say, but taxes are always going to go up. No matter what, your taxes are going to go up. But I don't think we should be looking at everything from the standpoint of how does it help the north side? The north side has intricate problems that are the north side. The north side looks like it does, not because of anything downtown, but because of the people who don't care. So we can't base what the city does on what the North Side needs.
I think that's an interesting thought, not like
what they need, but we can't base the growth of the city on the North Side. We just can't do that.
Melisana, I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate your thoughts and comments on that. And I think everybody has the absolute right to share their thoughts in the comments. And I appreciate her chiming in on that. But what I will say is this, is that as me discussing Rethink 794, where I know the mayor's office is advocating for tearing it down and making it street level, I can't knock anyone for having a vision. But I can disagree with that vision, and I really do disagree with the vision. Folks who support this are thinking about themselves and not the whole. And maybe that's one of the issues that I have, is that I think about the whole more so than myself all the time. Well, not all the time. Sometimes you got to be selfish. But I think about, how does this impact we, right, versus how does this impact me? And for me, I just don't understand and get how something that carries almost 74,000 passengers per day getting torn down is good. I'm just concerned about that. But then in addition to that, Truth Nation, I disagree with Millicent when she says we shouldn't be thinking about the North Side. The reason why I say that I disagree with her, Truth Nation, is this, is that the North Side of Milwaukee, and just in general, the people on the North Side of Milwaukee are Black people. And if we're not thinking about how this positively impacts the largest population of people in Milwaukee, I think it is a miss. I think it is a miss. And I know our politicians, they try. They really do. They try really hard to do the best that they can. But again, this isn't elementary school where you get an A for effort. If I sucked at being on the radio, I wouldn't be on the radio. You don't get an A for effort. It's all about results. What are the results that you are driving? And these folks impact people's lives. That's what these politicians do. The decisions they make, the policies they create impact people's lives. And it just doesn't sit right with me knowing that downtown Milwaukee has been the northern star for not only Mayor Barrett's administration, it seemed like, and now Mayor Johnson's administration. That has been that northern star. It has been the focal point. It has been the thing that they wanted to do, is drive business in downtown Milwaukee, while Milwaukee's Black community is seeing their students get terrible test scores. Dr. Brenda Caselius, the superintendent of MPS, went to LinkedIn to talk about how disappointed she was in the test scores and how there's so much more work to do. How is it that supporting the largest population of people in the city isn't the main goal? That should be the goal. And we shouldn't shy away from that either. In communities where white people are the majority, guess what the white politicians are doing? The politicians are supporting causes that they like. That's what they do, because they understand that these are the people that are voting for them and they're the most important thing. That's the issue that I have, is that in those towns that are mostly white, the politicians are doing things that support white causes. In communities where you have Hispanic leadership and people, the majority are Hispanic, guess what their politicians are doing? They're supporting Hispanic causes. But for some reason here in Milwaukee, we have folks who are afraid to support Black causes without hesitation. And Truth Nation, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm going to keep it 100. I get this vibe, because I've seen a lot of things during my time, right? And I'm hopefully, Lord willing, I'll have more time on this earth and I'll be able to see a lot more. But something that has bothered me, even with my boat situation and other situations that I've seen and how people handle things, I sometimes feel like some Black people are afraid to challenge white people. I sometimes feel like they're nervous to buck the trend. They're nervous to bite the hand that feeds them. I have seen a lot of things, and I realize that a lot of Black people have this inferiority complex when it comes to white people. They're afraid to speak out. They're afraid to push back. They're afraid to ruffle feathers. I don't understand that. And anybody that used to work at 1017 The Truth and worked underneath me knows I'm not afraid to ruffle any feathers. I'm not afraid to poke the bear. I am an advocate of the people that that worked with me and alongside me. And I feel like there's a lot of folks who are in power who are afraid to push back and bite the hand that feeds them. Afraid to defend Black people. But just the observation I've made. That's it. Some of y'all may think differently, but that's what I've seen. I don't know where it is, but I digress. And I guess for me, I'm just disappointed in the Black politicians for not fighting harder. Because a question that all of the North Side older folks should be asking when they're talking about tearing down 794, when Cavalier Johnson's folks come out to Common Council and try to whip up some support and try to be in a unit to talk about, you know, hey, we want to tear this down at surface level, they need to be asking, what will we get out of this? And when I say we, I mean the Black community.
That's all I care. What will the black community getting out of tearing down 794? How will tearing down 794 impact the economic outcomes out there on Capitol and Fond du Lac? How will it impact have a positive impact on Lisbon? How would it have a positive impact on Locust? How would it have a positive impact out there by Northridge Mall? How does tearing down 794 help families in Halliard Park to ensure that their property taxes don't keep going through the roof so they get displaced from their homes? Those are the questions. How will it help the black community get more jobs? How will it help for the students in the classrooms to have better textbooks and have more teachers without them having to ask the city of the Milwaukee for more money instead of y'all being saying, hey, we have extra money to send y'all? That's what I'm trying to figure out. We have heard this story before. But too often they say, oh, all this extra revenue that's generated is going to trickle down to Milwaukee's black neighborhood. Where? And when? I haven't seen it. All these projects that they have in downtown Milwaukee, but these are the same people that just taxed us 2%. These are the same people who are raising our fees to register our car in the city. These are the people that are raising the tax levy to bring in more money towards the city. These are the people who are collecting more money from property taxes from us. These are the people who are now towing vehicles for parking violations, not because they're trying to have more strict enforcement. No, because they're trying to generate more money. They're trying to close the deficit gap, and they're doing it on the backs of the people. So again, I think the tearing down 794, the pictures are great. It looks cool. But I feel like the cons outweigh the pros. And when you're talking about the fact that I'm just annoyed by this concept of so much investment and thought and time being put in downtown Milwaukee, while they get new businesses and they get new housing and they get green spaces, we get a damn library at the Walmart spot. We get a damn storage facility at the Walmart spot over there in Midtown. And we end up getting an information center. I don't want to become controversial with that. But while we getting storage facilities that are our eyesore, they're getting parks. They're getting green spaces. They're getting housing. But what are we getting on the north side of Milwaukee? That is my question. 833-212-1017. Miss Sandra, what are your thoughts on today's conversation?
Hi, Kyle. I agree with you 100%. I am serious just like you. We pay more taxes. Our tax costs more. We had to add the streetlights to our water bills. Every time we look, we get jacked up. And it took them a million years to even start working on the boarded up houses. Now the streets are cracked up. What are we getting? You don't get no boulevards.
We do not.
I feel just 100% like you. You know what? I think within my heart, they need to see black people's frustration. That's the get over menu.
Yeah.
They get over on the fact that they could deplete us and show their fans that they're depleting these black folks. And that's exactly the way I feel.
Miss Sandra, I think you've been around a lot longer, so you've seen a lot more. And unfortunately for you, I feel like you've just seen a constant cycle. A constant cycle of failures of the city. This has to wear on people. And thank you, Ms. Sandra. And the thing is, I told y'all, when I went down to Nashville, they didn't have a huge black population. But they got a lot of black universities and colleges, and it felt freeing. It really did. 833-212-1017. Denise in Milwaukee, what are your thoughts here today on this tearing down of 794? And should we be focused on investing in downtown Milwaukee, or when will the conversation shift to investing in the north side?
Carol, I agree with you totally. I just wanted to call and say that you are on the right path. They collect all this money from the entertainment districts and Bucks, and then they did the stadium, and we're supposed to get a tax break after they paid for that, and we still have that tax on there. We just get eaten up with all these taxes, but we get no revenue from it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just keep paying and paying. You are so correct about this, and they've had that old Sears building standing in our neighborhood depleting our property values and not doing a darn thing about it.
You talking about the Milwaukee Mall?
Nothing. I don't know what it was called. It was old Sears building. You know, it was old Sears building on North Avenue in Fond du Lac.
Yep, yep. I think they now it's called the Milwaukee Mall. You're absolutely right. They're going to turn into a boutique hotel. You're absolutely right. You're right. Thank you so much, Denise. And that's my thing. And that is my thing. I understand that for in order to have investment, you have to have things that attract. But you also have to have innovation. You have to also have ideas. And I just feel like there's a lack of, you know, execution that we get from our leaders. And so that's why I get so irritated and so bothered when I see so many people. And I just see certain people who are excited about tearing down 794. I'm like, well, dang, man, more for downtown, but nothing for us. And no knock on a library, but a library? A storage facility? There's storage facilities all over the place. How does this create economics? A library may have 15, 20 staff members. A storage facility may have 5 staff members. Like, when are we going to get the positive economic outcomes from the investment in our community? That's what I want to know. 833-212-1017. I'm sick and tired of the investment in the mind and the visions being focused on downtown Milwaukee. I'm sick of the politicians being so focused on beautifying downtown Milwaukee with streetcars and tearing down, you know, freeways that make freeways into streets that's going to cause more accidents. But it doesn't matter because, hey, we're going to generate more revenue and attract more people in downtown Milwaukee while letting the people on the north side of Milwaukee suffer, letting black people suffer. I just never got it. How do you see somebody who look like your mom or look like your dad or look like your auntie or look like your brother suffering and not do anything and everything you can to change their lives? 833-212-1017. Again, that's the Truth Talking text line. If you have any thoughts, you can definitely call in. But we'll finish up the show next.
You are listening to Truth to Power with Kyle Wallace on 1017 The Truth and The Truth app. Catch Truth to Power every weekday from noon to 1 p.m.
Make sure y'all go ahead and visit Brick Frog. Y'all saw that break screen. Y'all saw them shirts everybody had on. The brothers took over Nashville and they had on the Big Frog shirts there for the bachelor party. Make sure if you need any custom designs, you need any type of needs for your apparel, visit Big Frog and Mequon. Their customer service is second to none. I'm sending them another order coming up here. They did a great job designing our logo for our wedding. It is absolutely incredible. So make sure you visit Big Frog and Mequon or visit BigFrog.com/Mequon so you are able to visit them. But I'm telling y'all, you will not regret it. Big Frog got you. It is Truth to Power here on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. And I was talking about Rethink 794. And here's the thing. Is when I think about tearing down 794, I think about the fact that this is once again something that ignores the needs on the north side of Milwaukee. They're talking about investing billions of dollars. It's going to cost a lot of money. $750 million to $1.7 billion in order to tear that down and do a development that way. The option that the Wisconsin DOT seems to be leaning towards is a more affordable option than keeping the freeway up, but the city, I think, is pushing back against it. And what annoys me is when you look at downtown, they get the big, bold, and beautiful vision and ideas, and we get empty buildings for decades. They get a streetcar that they can have for free. We get bike lanes that we don't even use. I am all about a vision. I'm all about them wanting to beautify downtown Milwaukee, but I think we need to focus on rethinking the north side of Milwaukee. I think we need to put an emphasis on the fact that we have black elected politicians that need to be bold in saying, I am here to support my constituents who are black. If it does not positively impact my black constituents, I don't care about it. Because in other communities, they focus on their majority. Milwaukee might be the only city in the state of Wisconsin where you have all these black elected officials who don't focus on what is going to be good for the black community only. Some people may say, well, you shouldn't do that. Well, they do it in other communities. You think them communities that are letting ICE arrest people in their communities give a damn about Mexicans or Hispanic looking folk? You think they give a damn about people being searched even though they're legally here? No. They care about appealing to their white base. And at some point, the politicians in Milwaukee are going to have to start caring about appealing to the black base in the majority race in this city. This has been Truth to Power here with Kyle Wallace on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. The Tory Lowe Show is up next. Truth Nation, I love y'all. Peace out. We'll talk to y'all tomorrow.